Let's turn to the Word of God in Philippians chapter 1. It's in the New Testament. Okay. I'm just going to encourage us this morning just to look again at your circumstances. We can sometimes get in a bad habit in Christianity. Everything's the devil's fault. That if I have a bad day, then the devil's on my case, and we think, well, it's because God's got such a good plan for my life, and we come against just a little bit of hardship, and it's somebody else's fault, or it's the devil's fault, and it really is just a glorified pity party sometimes. And I'm going to really just encourage you this morning just to look again at your circumstances, because it may be that God has got you within that place, even as hard as it might be, for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Fuck ends that perception is everything. And if you, hands up if you wear glasses here, okay? I'm also a glasses wearer, but I didn't wear them to speak. I used to, but looking at you guys was amazing, but when I try to look at my notes, it was blurry. Because am I short-sighted or long-sighted? I've got a problem with my eyes. I'll leave that to the opticians. But I have found that perception is everything. And a few weeks ago, I was walking down the road, as a lot of you can. I'm a Liddles man through and through. I backslid and went to Farm Foods once, because I can't get on for Liddles. I was looking for frozen softies. And so I'm walking in without my glasses, and I'm walking for the car park down to the door, and somebody from across the road was waving at me as though I was a long-lost child. And if you're a glasses wearer like me that is short-sighted, even if you got your glasses, when I look across the road, I dinna see faces clearly. I just see a fuzzy image, and it's really annoying, and I feel as though if I dinna wave to people, they're going to think, I am a really bad person. And so this person was waving frantically. I haven't a clue who that is. It was maybe one of you guys. I was really offended. I was conscious as well that I was a young girl walking behind me. And I didn't want to wave up like that to find it's not actually me that they're waving at. It could be this girl. Has that ever happened to them? You're left in an indecision. Do I wave to somebody that's nae waving at me, or do I just be droll and just do nothing? And I've tried to master a wave, because that's nae a cool wave, is it? Guys, like, that's how you wave, really, isn't it? It's like a one-handed salute that is far cooler than that. I went to waving classes just to learn these things. And I didn't wave. And I walked down to Farm Foods, and then I started to panic. I thought, I've maybe really, really offended that person. Because I thought I had a sneaky look, and the girl behind me wasn't waving either. And I thought, just see how you take a panic attack, and thought, I've really disappointed somebody here. My long-lost relative across the road is going to be highly offended. And I thought, I bet it's got to be plastered all over social media, kind of that Christians won't even wave to you if you're across the road now, and never gone out of that church again because the pastor's so rude. And I started to panic, and I went on Facebook to think, I wonder if there's any evidence of my offending anybody. And Abdi's too busy chasing Pokemons to be interested for Abdi in these days. So the point is this, perception is everything. If I was perceiving was, I kind of see that person to respond, and that person's perception was, I'm delighted to see him, or maybe it was the person beside me, Ninos, was responding, and their perception would be, that guy's just plain rude. That guy is just plain rude. I'm waving ecstatically across the road, and this guy isn't even responding. But it's the same story, but two different perceptions, isn't it? There's my perception as I'm panicking, thinking, how do I respond? There's a person's across the road perception that they're frantically trying to get my attention. But as I could see, it's just a figure in the distance. And so this morning, I want you to really get the perception of Jesus in your lives. There's two ways you can live this Christian life. There's the way of faith, and there's the way of sight. You can live this life, even being a Christian, and you respond only to things that you see with the natural eyes, which determines how we act, and it determines our attitude, and that's why Scripture is very clear that we shouldn't live by sight, we should live by faith. And faith is simply trusting in what God has already said, despite of what we see with our natural eyes. And far kins, that is a tricky thing to do. I've been looking through the life of Abraham, and Abraham came to a point with Lot, and their herdsman was in dispute, and Abraham says, we can't live in this land together. Lot, which was really unusual, Abraham should have got the right of way because he was the elder. He said, Lot, you pick forever you want to go, and you can hate. And forever you leave for me, I will just rest in the land. You see, God had already told Abraham, this is going to be your land. So if it did Lot do, it's really interesting. He looked up, and he said, he's seen the beauty of the land ahead of him. He's seen the beauty, he's seen the place that was flourishing. And it said he journeyed towards that land that he's seen. And then there's a straightforward God's idea of that way of living. It says, and the Lord knew that that was a sinful people and a wicked people he was going towards. Sodom, he was going towards. But everything looked so amazing. And Abraham, that was a man of faith, says, well, you go, you take it, it looks beautiful to you. I'm just going to rest here. And so you can, as the story goes on, Lot ended up in trouble, and Abraham flourished in a land. However, it is on for us as Christians to live this life of faith and nay the life of sight. And that's about a background to the letter to Philippi. The Apostle Paul is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. Now, here was a man that was on fire for Jesus. His life was absolutely transformed, as you can, that he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. He was a persecutor, a hater of the Christian faith, and he's on his way, and he gets amazingly converted. He has an encounter with Jesus, and then after a period of 3 years, he starts planting churches. He was an apostle, and he went to the area of Philippi on his second missionary journey. And you might ken a lady called Lydia, and a lady that was demon-possessed, a fortune teller, that she was amazingly set free, and her bosses wasn't too happy. That happened in the region of Philippi. So you imagine the Apostle Paul. He plants this house group, this church in Philippi. He then goes away, and he encounters some difficulty. He's sitting in a house group, and he's just doing his thing. He's not harming anybody. He's been a preacher of the gospel. He's seeing people healed. He's seeing people set free. And he is dragged for that house group. Gilbert and Allison, imagine this happened in your house group. He's dragged out, and he is put before the religious authorities. He's put before them that are wanting to snuff out the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he is put in prison. It's a long story. They get shipwrecked, and he's sitting in Rome in a prison. I think that's pretty hard going. Doing the Lord's work, helping people, to being dragged for your comfort zone, dragged for your house group, dragged for church planting, dragged for seeing signs and wonders on the street, to a grubby prison that's unlike the prisons here. This was a place, it would have been filthy, it would have been torturous, the Roman guards would have been, they were violent people. And so, he's in this place. And so his church that he plants in Philippi, they get really concerned. Hold on, the guy that planted our church is in prison. If it's going to happen to us, he's our father in the faith. He's looked after us. He's communicated through letters to us. He's encouraged us. It's like when your star striker for your football team gets injured. He gets teen out of why now, but Wolfa's got to score the goals now. And you got to see this pioneer of the faith. He was out the game. He was in a hard place. He was in shackles. And you really, the letter that Paul writes is a response to the area of Philippi, the church in Philippi's questions, or this is really unfair. Fear's going to happen to us. You're out the picture. And if you was to respond to that question as Paul, how would you respond? You're in a hard place. You have been violently treated. You have been shipwrecked. You have been teen from place to place. You've been beaten for your faith. And somebody sends you a query, or it's pretty hard for you, isn't it? It's pretty tough for us to hear, but it's hard for you. How would you respond? It's not hard sometimes to get in agreement with a disappointed spirit, is it? Because some of us would maybe say, you're right. This is a nightmare. Can you believe that I was just in a house group, minding my own business, preaching the gospel, and these violent people have taken my faith, my friends, that they've taken my faith, my area of influence, that I'm no longer able to preach the gospel, come back to you and preach the gospel. How much would spiritualize it completely and say, this is the devil's doing? The devil must hate me, people, pray for me. Lucifer and all his heavenly hosts are suddenly coming and conspiring against me, the Apostle Paul, because I'm a man on fire. How much would completely spiritualize it in that sense and say, this is the devil's doing. I shouldn't be in chains. I'm just trying to be a Christian here. How dare the Roman guards treat me with some contempt? And maybe he would have tried to fire in some other scriptures, like it's okay because you can. Greater is he that is within me than he that was in the Roman guards, and you can. This is all going to work out. But if you have read the book of the Philippians, a letter written in a hard space, you have got to see that we need to look again at our circumstances. If Paul only wrote letters on faith he's seen with the natural eyes, he would have been a reclusive, depressive guy. But let's read a little bit of the letter of Philippians. Let's read verse 12 in chapter 1. So this is written on behalf of our concern for the people in Philippi. If it's going to happen, our star striker is out the way. And listen if it Paul says, like, if you don't get encouraged by us, you need a resurrection or something. Because this is what Paul says. So can we agree first that Paul's in a hard space? Agree with that? If you've been in a hard space, how easy it is to get discouraged. Well, look what Paul has gone through. And yet he says this. And I want you to know. This is words penned by the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul. I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. He is opening up a new perspective to them. He is saying this, I've looked at my circumstances, but I'm not looking at my circumstances. I'm looking again with a new set of glasses, the glasses of faith, and I'm seeing God's perspective that why I'm in prison and why I'm in chains and why there's Roman guards. I'm looking again at why I'm in a hard place. And he says, dear brothers and sisters, I really want you to get this. That everything that has happened to me has helped to spread the good news. I thought maybe a couple of you would say amen. We have agreed. He's in a difficult place. We have agreed that it's easy in a difficult place to get disgruntled and blame the devil and blame everybody else that's came against us and blame the Muslims. He's in a hard place, and he said, I just want you to ken. Every single thing that's happened to me has helped to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. When I got trailed out at house group, when I was shipwrecked, when I'm in chains, when I'm getting beaten by the Roman guards, he says, every single thing that has happened to me is helping to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to explain, he says, the Roman guards, everybody here knows this one thing. I'm in chains for Jesus Christ. People are getting saved. That I have a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week congregation. Nobody can escape me because they're in chains alongside me, and I'm preaching to them, and they're getting saved. Not only are they getting saved, the Roman guards, they actually know why I'm here as well. And I'm looking again at my situation, and the Roman guards know that I'm in chains for Jesus Christ, and the gospel of good news is spreading. And as you read on, he says, not only that, adding to the craziness, that actually the believers outside the prison gates are getting bolder because of my imprisonment. Isn't that amazing? Look again. He says, I'm in here, I'm the star striker that's been teen out the game. I want you to see if it's happened. Because since I've been teen out the game, there's other believers springing up and preaching because they realize it's not about me. Because they realize there are star strikers in prison. They realize somebody's got to preach here. And they realize if nobody else is preaching, I'm going to preach. He says, look again if it's happening. I've been teen out the game. I'm in prison. I'm in chains. Prisoners are getting saved. Prison guards came that I'm here for Jesus Christ. And even the believers outside the prison doors are starting to rise up and preach the gospel of good news. Look again at your circumstance. Look again at your hardship. When we look again at our hardship, we can see that maybe, just maybe, that God has got me here in a hardship because there's somebody in my hardship that needs to hear the gospel of good news. You're maybe deed against your employer. You're maybe thinking, he's just a hard taskmaster, and you're blaming the devil, thinking, why has he put me in employment here in this situation? And God's maybe just saying, look again, that person needs Jesus. Maybe you're thinking, hey, I'm in the dole queue here. I've lost my job and I can't believe I'm in this situation. The devil's giving me a hard time. And maybe there's just somebody in that queue that needs to hear that life isn't just about that thing, God, money, but life is about hope in Jesus Christ. Maybe there's somebody there. It's getting a different perspective. Look again. You might say, well, you didn't care if I've been through and that, but I do believe this, that God is sovereign in your life, that the devil is not sovereign, and if God has got you some way, and if he has trapped you in and enclosing you in, then somehow, some way, he has got a plan to use you at that place. We are so used to living by sight and not by faith. We always think, well, when the grass is greener on the other side, when I get to the other side, then I'll preach the gospel because then I'll be happy. If I feel like that, okay, maybe just me. I'll maybe try this side. That you find yourself in a downcast place and time, and you think, if once my circumstances get a bit better, once I get the right job, once I meet the right person, once I get the right qualification, therefore get the right job, therefore get the nice car, get the nice house, well, therefore get a bit of money in the bank, get the right holidays, then surely I'll be a happier person, then I'll for preaching the gospel, because all came that God has been so good to me. But yet right in the prison, hard point of time that the devil is now sovereign in your life and that God still is sovereign, would you still say, everything that has happened is happening to me for the gospel of good news that cannot be chained to be preached? That is living by faith and not by sight. Look again at your circumstances. Look again at your hardship. He can take us through the mire and give us a miracle. You might think, but I'm in a hard place because of my own doing. I've been born again. I've slipped up. I've gone in a place of sin. And I'm so grateful to God for his patience and that he's got every base covered, that he would still say all things work together for the good, that those who love God and are called by his eternal purposes. All things work together for good. If you're in that place of being trapped by sin, come back to God. Come back to his grace and mercy, be set free, and you will realize all things work together for good, and you will be teen through by God's grace and God's power. I guarantee you, you will meet somebody else that's trapped in the same sin you used to be trapped in, and you can be a minister of the gospel of grace to say, hey, it's okay. All things can work together for a good here for those that love the Lord and called according to his purpose. How does he do it? How does he do it? It's a mystery. I don't know how he does it, and it's annoying that I kind of preach to you that I know how he does these things. I just can't that he does it. If he does it, it's amazing. You say, well, are you encouraging us to sin so that you can turn to ruin for good? No. I want you to see how amazing God is and worthy of following, that even if you're trapped in sin, he can turn out a ruin as well. If you come to him and receive his grace and mercy, there were 12 people the Israelites sent into the promised land. 12 people scouring out the land that God had ordained the land of Israel to inhabit. But some of you will ken the story. There were giants in the land. And they came back with the fruits, such an abundance of fruit. But there were giants in the land. And 10 people give a bad report and says, we feel like grasshoppers in their sight. And in fact, I bet you they see us as grasshoppers. The enemy is too strong. There's giants in the land. We cannot defeat them. And they were like, we didn't understand why God has taken us so far to let us fail and be defeated by giants. And 2 people called Caleb and Joshua stood up and says, look again. God has promised us to take us into the land. We go with the courage that he has given us. We go in his strength. The enemy, that giants are, is nothing before our God. And this says to the nation, look, look again. For his God showed us. For his God already told us. Then I listen to this 10 faithless people that's giving you a bad report. You will find that people lean towards a bad report and a discouraged spirit. But God will raise up a people of faith that will say, I came for his before us. But look again. Look again, see for God has already told us what he wants to do in my family, in my community, in this nation. And you just feel that God is championing on. Look again, nation. You can go on. That fruit doesn't need to be just a parcel for somebody's holiday. You can dwell in that place. I'm giving it to you. Just go in and believe. And the whole nation says, no, we're too weak. We're not going to do it. And you can't the story. There was then the whole generation, hard-hearted unbelievers, had to die in a wilderness, but Joshua and Caleb then went into the promised land. Even Moses didn't go into the promised land. You got a whole nation. You get a story of Goliath taunting a whole nation, and it was a set-up fight. He says, get the best of you and the best of the Philistines. The winner takes all prize. If ever wins, the other nation will be the slaves to. And every day Goliath's coming out and taunting a whole nation. It says we're gripped by fear. They're paralyzed with fear. And then you just get a little young guy coming up saying, what's going on here? I said, oh, Goliath, Ken, he's just really big. And none of us can talk him. And Saul, if I should have known better, was like, I'm not taking him either, even we have this armor. And you've got David, if I was just delivering some sandwiches, just taking a look and saying, you need to look again. This giant, you feel that he's too big to mess with a sling and a stone. He was like, look again, this uncircumcised Philistine. How dare he come against and defile the army of the living God? Look again. If nobody else is going to take him out here, just give him a few stones and a sling. I'm sure maybe he wasn't so flippant as that, but he says, we need to look through the eyes of faith here. Your whole nation, you're just fear. Somebody's going to have to take this thing with faith and go and slay the giant. Look again at your circumstance. What are you scared of? It's paralyzing you with fear. You see the life of Jesus, 5,000 people needing fed and hungry, and Abdi was like, how are we going to feed them? We haven't got enough money here. And Jesus was saying, look again. I'm the great provider. And one of the greatest examples for me is the cross. The wonderful cross. I love singing about a cross. It's not old-fashioned. It's just, it is still the power of God and his salvation. So the cross was a picture of dismay. It was a picture of really the horribleness of sin coming and tap, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the pure and spotless Lamb. A horrible picture, isn't it? The sin, the damage sin could do. But yet, when you look again, what do you see? You see salvation. You see hope. You see the enemy getting trampled on. You see Christ the champion. Some of you maybe need to tell the devil to take a look again. Because some of you are maybe thinking, well, the enemy is sovereign in my life and I'm just a defeated one and I'm being kicked left, right, and center because I'm God's child. Maybe you need to remind him. Maybe you need to remind the devil of the cross and say, look again. You thought you'd won. The cross was the devil's idea. It was God's supreme plan. And it encourages me because when I look at the cross, I see dismay, I see brokenness, I see a hard time, but I see a Savior on a cross with his hand stretched forward, saying, look again. And at that point, you see the devil and his buddies rejoicing that the Savior, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was being crucified. But then you've got Jesus Christ saying, look again. I'm bringing the whosoever, the Heavenly Father. That all things, everything that is happening to me is for the gospel of good news to go forth. That are the beatings, are the beard pullings, are the spittings, are the ounce of pain in the crucifixion. He's saying, humanity, look again. This was near the devil's victory. This was victory for the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. And some of us need to remind that devil's, may I remind you, to look at the cross of victory, the cross of wonder, the cross of salvation, the power of God into salvation. And we look at his nail-pierced hands, and we look at his crown of thorns, and we look at his feet that was pierced, and his body was broken, and we look at all these things, and we've got to say, look again. The price was paid. We didn't look at it through just a stained glass window picture, do we? Oh, my Savior's beaten and broken. We look at it through the eyes of faith, and we say, what a wonderful cross. Look again at your circumstance, people. Almost finished. Verse 18. I'm sure you get the message by now. Look again. Maybe you're just in that place. Oh, I feel as though I'm imprisoned and I feel as though I'm suffocating here. When you walk out those doors thinking, I'm looking again. I'm here for a plan. I'm here for a purpose. God has somehow got me here for some plan and some purpose. And we can say with a surety of faith that everything that is happening to me and somehow work out for good, not for me, because it's not about me, but for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you can, what I read in verse 18 was a great comfort to me, because what happened was some people try to spring up because a star striker was out of the game, spring up and preaching Christ with false motives, to get rich quick, some with impure motives. And verse 18, and I like what he says here, because it's worth noting, the church in Philippi was wanting Paul's divine opinion of what should happen to these people that were preaching who have false motives. And they would expect me to be a letter back saying, well, they should be condemned. They should be in prison, and I should be let out to preach a pure gospel. He said this, and this is worth mentioning just as a general attitude to hear. He says this, I'll start in verse 17. Those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely intending to make my chains more painful to me. But that doesn't matter. Whatever their motives are, false or genuine, the message about Christ is being preached either way, so I rejoice. And I will continue to rejoice, for I know that as you pray for me and the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will lead to my deliverance. It doesn't matter. Sometimes what we worry about, it doesn't really matter, does it? And there's different churches is preaching for the same Bible. I mean, I'm in a position as the minister. Hardly seems to want your opinion on what happens in different streams of different churches, and we've got our brothers and sisters from America, and folk went to Ken. I mean, I heard somebody was, Ken, your pastor's got a fancy car. I'm thinking about leaving the church because he really shouldn't have had a cool car. And and he's maybe going to the prosperity gospel, and the prosperity gospel's our here, and the, when they say it's a poverty gospel, but we'll say it is our here, and the poverty, look at the prosperity gospel, and they're like, you guys shouldn't be so blessed, and you know, realize how your clients, if you just sell it, you could give the money to missionaries and all that stuff. And the prosperity gospel looks at the poverty gospel, and you didn't realize how much God can bless you with hey, mer to give a lot of missionaries. And you've got this tension, haven't you? That, well, if it's right, if it's wrong, I'm just wanting an opinion. Do I walk out in the pastor because we have different reasons to deal with that? And Paul says this, it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. As long as Christ's being preached. Some, maybe, selfish, I reckon. He says, really, it doesn't matter. The important thing is that Christ is being preached, and for this reason, I will rejoice. We need to get our eyes off of poverty, prosperity, fit side of my own. It's not sides. Is Christ being preached? Rejoice. Is somebody preaching Christ with glad rags on? Is somebody preaching Christ with a t-shirt for Primark on? Just rejoice that Christ is being preached. He says that's the only really thing that matters. Nothing else doesn't matter. God will sort out at the end of the day. I'm saying this, encourage you to look again. Don't be burdened yourself with far's right, far's wrong, far's dotting I the T's and crossing the dotting the T's. It's not right, is it? All right, bad theology. Dot I's, cross T's. If it should matter to us more than anything, is that the message of Christ is preached. And if the message of Christ isn't preached for this pulpit, I would expect you to walk out. But nothing else doesn't really matter. And I think it's worth noting, because I think we worry about things that God doesn't want us to worry about. And we discuss things in the Christian life that God doesn't want us to discuss. But if we would get the attitude, I'm looking at this differently, is it fit the really, really, really important thing is, isn't it if it on a buddy drives? It's not if it holidays that go on, it's not even how the church looks. The most important thing in my life is Christ being preached for the place where I'm at. And if he's not being preached for the place where I'm at, then I should be concerned, and so should you. But if Christ is being preached for the place that I'm at, if it doesn't matter, I'll rejoice. Why am I rejoicing? Because Christ is the Savior. He's the only answer for mankind's sin and rebellion against God. As long as he is being preached, there's hope. And that should be our focus. So be encouraged to look again at your circumstance. And didn't I leave this place here not being encouraged? Be encouraged to look again, even if you're in a hard place. Be like Paul and says, everything that has happened to me, man, it's happened to further the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ because God's in charge. Even if I'm in chains, I'll preach the gospel. Amazing. It's just an add-on, a PS at the end. Amazing the amount of people that get sick, go to the hospital and tell people about Jesus. It's amazing. It's really faithless because we believe that God can heal. But if I meet people in hospital and that, the amount of times they will tell me, I shared my faith with the surgeon. The amount of times they'll tell me, they wondered why I was reading my Bible when they came to serve my tea and coffee, and I shared my faith with a nurse. A lot of times they'll say, I'm in a room with eight other strangers. They ask me for a day and they ask why a minister comes. And I tell them. Now, I'm not advocating that we should all go get sick and go to the hospital. But I am advocating the beauty of seeing your life through the eyes of faith and not simply what you see. You may be at doctor's surgery and we will pray that God heals you. You may be there to preach the gospel and say, it doesn't matter. As long as the gospel is being preached, we'll go for it. As the worship band comes up. Ah, of course you can, George. This is. Hi. I'll make this easy for you again.
Well, Scripture tells us to preach the word in season and out of season. But also it says to seize every good and favorable opportunity. And this is a favorable opportunity when we've been blessed in 60 years marriage. Now, I want to quote two verses from Jeremiah, the prophet. And its first verse starts with, thus saith the Lord. And the second verse finishes with, thus saith the Lord. And what the Lord's saying is this, let not the mighty boast in his might, not let the rich boast in his riches, nor the wise in his wisdom, but let him boast in this, that he knoweth me, and understanding that I exercise loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in all the earth, and these things do I delight. We can boast knowing the Lord Jesus. Far be it from me, Paul says, to boast, save in the cross of Christ, through whom the world is crucified to me, and I to the world. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Well done. I couldn't have landed that better myself, George. Thanks for helping me out there. I was struggling. He just teed it back in. And let's get a worship band up. Let's boast in the Lord. Maybe you feel this morning You come in here, you're feeling, though I'm such in a hard place. I had to drag myself here. I'm not sure if it's going on. The devil might be on my back. I want to encourage you to look again. Let's boast in the Lord. As we worship, I'm just going to invite, if you feel as though you're in that place, just come forward. If you're in that place saying, I need to look again. I've been under this pressure. I feel like giving up. I feel like walking away. I felt like agreeing with a disappointed spirit. And Christ really gives us the faith to continue. As we worship and you feel as though you're just in that place, you need to look again. Then you come forward and respond. We're just going to pray a general prayer, a faith hour he is. We'll need the individual ministry this morning. We'll just pray the prayer of faith. I'm going to ask the Abdi else that Disney respond, that would raise their hands out to you and just champion you on. And in that place that you're unsure maybe why God has got for you, you would see amazing fruit. Paul seen amazing fruit in a prison, you can. More fruit in some of us seeing churches. You've seen people saved. You've seen the attitudes of prison guards turn ruin. And you've seen even outside his severe influence that he wasn't in charge of, was outside the prison doors, and that believers were springing up to preach the gospel. And he rejoiced. So we want to champion you on this morning. We want to draw alongside you. We want to pray for you. And we want you to go out and look again at your circumstance. Let's stand in his presence as we worship. If you feel so responding, this is no pressure, nobody's pointing fingers here, this is a safe place, but I want to give a word and they get an opportunity just to respond. Sometimes at times a response, a dynamic spiritual change does happen as the elders pray for you. And we expect things to change, we expect you to live the life of faith. We expect that God would come in and show you a new way, and we will expect fruit in the place that you're in. So let's worship him, and if you feel as though you want to respond, come forward.